Welcome to They That Hope with Father Dave and Bob, seeing humor and hope in a crazy world. And I'm Bob.
I would be Father Dave.
Hey.
What's up?
Not much. How you doing?
Like your shirt.
Tampa Bay, baby. And thanks for all you paying attention, listening, downloading. It's just wonderful to be able to have this opportunity to share a little bit of our lives and to share a little bit of hope in the craziness. Yes, Tampa Bay. You know, we talked a few weeks ago, Pope Benedict had that quote about it's the little hopes that get us through life. And I really am grateful for Tampa Bay and Tom Brady. And they made it to the playoffs.
They did. And that was your prediction. And that was your prediction as well.
That was my
prediction. You're basically Nostradamus.
Exactly.
You've got, yeah.
Yeah, except I actually make things happen.
Any stocks or anything like that you could give me a suggestion for?
You know, the sad thing is I would make a horrible coach because I'm not super competitive. Like right now, you know, people are like, hey, do you think the Bucks are going to go to the Super Bowl? I'm like, no, I don't care. They won a playoff game. Like really, that was what I was shooting for because we haven't been to the playoffs in 15 years and we haven't won a playoff game since 2002, the Super Bowl. So all I really wanted to do was get to the playoffs and win a game. If I was the coach of the Buccaneers, it'd be horrible. Like my motivational speech would be like, hey, we did great. We did it. Everything else
we're
is
done.
Gravy. It really, you know, we're going to play the Saints. They beat us twice. Probably won't win that game, but it doesn't matter.
It just doesn't matter.
You know,
matter.
You guys tried your hardest. I was like always the king of the spirit stick. Like I was always that kid that was like, you know, I won the backward race in Boy Scouts, you know, that when you had to make those cars. And I you know, there's like a prize for last place,
but
good heart.
There you go.
That's kind of me. Go. Last place. But good heart.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting because I live obviously in the Friary and we were kind of split between the Browns and the Steelers. And I was going for the Browns just because they're, you know, they've been so bad for so long. And they the first quarter they were ahead 28-0.
Oh my gosh.
And they needed that. They needed that to be able to win it. But it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's a family of Steelers fans. And I would probably.
Oh, that's right. Your sons. They probably were heartbroken.
Yeah, they were very heartbroken. They were devastated.
Yeah, I mean, that's right.
And I was actually putting my youngest kid, Aiden, to bed. So the game started, and usually the Steelers, they don't pick things up until like the second half anyway. So I thought, I can miss the beginning of the game. Wow, I came downstairs, I'm like, it's 28-0.
Yeah, some of the Friars came in, like, what happened?
This can't possibly be true. I like the Browns. I think they're kind of plucky. And you know what? I think the one thing we can all agree on is Baker Mayfield's progressive commercials are just fantastic.
They're pretty funny.
I mean, no offense to Roethlisberger, but what have you done for me lately? I mean, I see more Mayfield commercials.
You're
right. They make me laugh. And you know what? The woman who plays his wife in those commercials?
That would be?
His wife. I just think that even makes it cooler.
Yeah,
it's just like, oh yeah, why don't we just use his wife? And yeah, they're fun. So anyway, just fun weekend of football. I love football. For me, football's family, great memories, getting together with people, having something to just be stupid about and yell at and you know, it's nice and in the climate of all the other serious things going on, just to be able to be with people and root for a game and just kind of, you know, just enjoy those little moments.
Yeah.
You know, they're kind of like a little break from the craziness.
Yeah. It was kind of a quiet weekend given everything that's going on with getting ready to gear up for a semester. So it was nice to have just kind of a weekend to hang around with the Friars. But then we also had a good couple of days. A friend of ours organized an outing.
I was told, hey, you should come to this. It's going to be great. Father Dave will be there. Bob Lesneski will be there. I still came anyway.
Yeah. But the thing I appreciate about it, one of the things is going into it, we were talking about, you know, what are we doing and what's it going to look like? And but honestly, there wasn't a huge agenda. We had
was the best thing.
We had, you know, meals together, breakfast and dinner together. We had mass together. We had spent some time in prayer together. And the rest was just fellowship, laughing and getting, you know, for some people getting to know one another. But there was a great grace with being men together and fellowship together. It was a really great blessing.
Yeah, we went on hikes. I usually don't go outdoors that much.
No, you don't. Bob generally doesn't want to go on hikes. If the shoes could get dirty, it's
but I did have nice shoes. My mommy bought me shoes in the fall.
Yeah,
and I dusted them off.
It was a little much for the hike.
They were like Timberland. No, what were you wearing? Like, just
well, we never sneakers. We never left pavement.
I actually walked on the side of the pavement for some of the time.
It was actually a really pretty area. I'd never been to the Smoky Mountains before, near Gatlinburg in that area. It was really, really pretty. But again, yeah, we live in a world, not necessarily my life, because I live with other friars, but men coming together and just being together. We didn't turn on sports. We didn't do anything. And it was a good time for guys to, I don't know, be more honest with each other. And I don't know, vulnerable. I don't know if that was it, but just sharing their stories and talking about what the Lord's doing in their life and their families. For me, it was kind of cool because some of these, the guys there, they now have kids, and I remember them when they were 19 years old and in college and just praying that they would survive, right? But it was really great. It was a great week.
For me, one of the gifts of it was there was someone on the trip that actually was in my youth group in the 90s. So this was 20 years ago and hadn't connected with him since. I mean, it actually took me a moment to recognize him when he came up to me and he's like, Bob. I'm like, you know, the brain Rolodex is like, okay, wait, you seem really, really familiar. And then realizing, oh my gosh, this was a young man that when he was a freshman in high school, I spent a lot of time with. We went to a Young Life camp together and just spent time with. And then as I ended up moving away from Steubenville and going to upstate New York, lost track of. So to see him there, to see him alive with the faith, there was even a moment of sharing where he talked about a conversation I had with him, you know, that really encouraged him to just give his life to the Lord and how impactful that is. I mean, you know, many times those of us that do ministry, we don't always get to see the fruits of what we do. And I'm always so grateful when the Lord just shows me little glimmers of that. You know, even things like, you know, hey, Bob, even like when you were kind of a goofball, you know, in the early 90s and you had no idea what you were doing, you know, you were just flying by the seat of your pants and just trying to be faithful. You know, sometimes it's easy to look back on our past, particularly in ministry. You know, I feel like, well, now I would have done it so much differently. You know, knowing what I know now, what I would have done then. Praise be Jesus. Like just to see somebody there that the Lord had used me in their life. And yeah, it's just so affirming. You know, it's just a great encouragement.
And I think for me, the biggest takeaway was the number of guys that said that they really needed this. And they just began to talk about, you know, being isolated. And I think that's one of the things that I would suggest to our listeners. And again, I realize that this is difficult and complicated for some people, but that Christians need other people in their life. You know, when we take a look at the scriptures, it's really clear. And Jesus sends people out, doesn't send them out by themselves, but sends them out in pairs and in groups. And so to be able to have people in your life, and we're going to talk a little bit later just on the kind of the crazy turns that's going on in our country right now, where we have small groups of faith that we can gather together, that we can talk, that we can be real, that we can be honest, that we can share, that we can laugh, that we can cry. And my experience is that men don't have that.
Yeah.
You know, women, as we know, obviously, Bob, that we have more gals that listen to the podcast than guys. And
do we know this?
We know this.
Do we have data on this?
Yeah, we do.
Are you just assuming?
I know.
Oh.
Unequivocally.
Okay.
Do you not?
Well, I guess I can't deny it.
There you go.
But I am Nostradamus.
Yes, you are. But some things you miss. Mm. But yeah, and I think it's particularly more difficult for men. And it's imperative. We've got to have guys in our life that we're sharing our life with and supporting each other and encouraging one another. So if that's you and you find yourself kind of isolated, no matter what your situation and story, we just invite you to try to reach out to somebody, and we'll pray specifically for that you send people in your life that you can be able to fellowship with.
And that's a nice segue into our first promo.
Yeah.
We have something on our webpage, at least steubenvilleconferences.com. We've started something called Discipleship Quads, and the idea is four people get together. It's a free resource. It's essentially a Bible study with questions that are attached. And if you're feeling that call for fellowship, if you can think of a few guys, and, you know, one of the things about COVID is when I was in the middle of a quad when COVID hit, and I thought, well, crap, we're not going to meet face to face. It's not going to be the same. I've been really amazed at, though it's not better, I think, than being in person, but how much you can do online in that kind of situation. Yeah. And so maybe it's people in your church, your family, maybe it's people around the country. Maybe it's some guys that you went to school with or some girls that you went to school with. It's supposed to be guys or girls, you know, three other people. But just go to that website, studentmobileconferences.com, scroll down a little bit to Discipleship Quads, and check it out. Like I said, the idea is it's a faith-sharing resource that gives an opportunity to meet together weekly and to grow in faith, with the idea that as you do it, maybe a year later, you might start it with three other people and use it as an opportunity for discipleship. So just something in your journey that you might want to discern. But check it out. Maybe think about people that you can do that with.
That's great. Good idea. That's a really good idea, Bob.
Thanks.
You're welcome. It's not like it's your first one. I just thought that was a really good idea.
Oh, okay. Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, and that was just shooting from the hip there. You just pulled that out of your pocket.
Boom.
There. Bam.
Boom.
So it was actually funny. So this was the whole thing that took place in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday. There were two things that were going on that were kind of, well, first off, as I stated, we were not watching the news. We weren't watching TV. I was actually kind of impressed in how people just stepped away from that. But I did. I was
also
getting,
the internet wasn't very good.
Yeah.
That was helpful.
Yeah, there was. Yeah. I was following a thread of texts between my family members, and they're like, "Can you believe what's going on? This is crazy. This is unbelievable." So I didn't know exactly what was going on. But the other thing that was kind of funny was that Franciscan University has an alumni who is a congressman, Jeff Fortenberry, out of Nebraska.
Yep.
And Jeff and I were texting back and forth for a number of things, and then he went dark. It's like, come on, Jeff, don't leave me hanging here. And then obviously found out and realized what was taking place in Washington, D.C. Yeah. And honestly, the text messages from my family, I think it was my mom, my sister, and maybe younger brother, there was anxiety and nervousness and fear. And finally somebody said, just turn it all off. You know, you don't have to be sitting watching that. But yeah, it was just kind of a crazy, could it get more crazy? Apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. Can. Good job, 2021.
Yeah, that's
you know,
right.
Just when we thought
Hold
things
my
were
beer.
Pretty, yeah, right. Just when we thought things were getting calmer, that happened. And, like you, I found a lot of details later, but that's usually when you do it, like in the real moment. I mean, we want to know immediately what's going on, and it usually takes a few days to get through the fog of war, as they would say, and see what happened. I mean, obviously the biggest tragedy are lives, you know, lives that were lost. I was just praying about that. Like, these are, you know, kids that are losing their parents and siblings.
Absolutely.
And sadly, kind of a for what, you know, question. I mean, I know that there's a lot of anger and frustration, but I don't know what the effectiveness of what occurred. And in some ways, you know, not to super spiritualize things, but it's just the devil, you know, like, yeah. I mean, you look at the fruits of it. It was chaos, confusion,
fear, anxiety,
anger,
division,
death, and blame, right? I mean, at the end of it, there wasn't a clear cut. I mean, everybody's still blaming, oh, no, you know, the people that started it was another group, and no, that was that group, and it just horrible. I mean, really just tragic. And I don't know what the upside of this was. Tragic in every sense of the word.
Yeah. And again, we try not to be political, and I think that's important. In fact, I'm more and more convinced during the election, just when I was preaching about the election, because I think it's important that the disciple, the Christian, needs to be involved in the political process. But I think it becomes dangerous when we begin to view the world from a political lens.
Yeah.
You know, if the way you view the world is through the Democratic Party, or the way you view the world is through the Republican Party, that's going to lead to confusion and anxiety at times. I think that the lens with which I'm going to view the world is the gospel in Jesus and the church and the scriptures. And that's one of the things that you saw in this whole thing, is that people were trying to defend or support things that were indefensible. And we've watched that over the last, you know, 8 or 9 months of things that taking place. And like you said, well, it's not our fault. It's their fault. Well, it's, you know, it's not a peaceful, I mean, it was a peaceful protest that became a riot. I mean, all these kinds of things that we try to make sense out of it, and it just doesn't make any sense. And in both sides, the duplicity, you know, how everything switched on this was just unbelievable. The media drives me absolutely crazy. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. You know, I like what you had to say, that let the gospel be our vision. You know, like we can either see things through the perspective of God's eyes or the craziness of the world. And, you know, I love actually, there's so much, particularly in the Old Testament, about wisdom and, you know, the holy men and women desiring wisdom, asking for wisdom. There's actually a number of books in Scripture that are completely dedicated to wisdom. And I think sometimes in our modern era, we think of wisdom like Yoda or like a sage, and like you're really smart or intelligent or old. But in Scripture, I think one beautiful way to define wisdom is, how does God see this? Mm-hmm. Like, we get God's eyes, we get God's perspective on it. And that's something I've actually was, you know, praying for during all of these crises and things going on. It's like, Lord, give us wisdom. Let us see this as you see this. Mm-hmm. That's how I want to see the world, because we do, there is a very strong push for us to see the world in a certain way. That's part of the frustration with media. Media isn't trying to give us information and allow us to make our own decisions on what's going on.
I want to jump on that, because that's exactly right. If we think, just take the events that took place in Washington, D.C., if you are watching, what the media is the media becomes a lens with which we're viewing something. So you could watch, and I actually try to read, I don't watch a lot of news, but I read more news, and mm-hmm. I try to read conservative and liberal, because they're both presenting it in a way that supports their agendas and their, and if we think about that, watching the news, it's a lens that we're looking through to see the world. And that lens is biased on both sides. And for us to be able to try to, it's like a cataract, right? To try to get rid of those things that allow us to see things more as they are.
Did you ever see the documentary, The Social Dilemma?
No, I heard everybody was talking about that in Tennessee.
Oh, yeah. Here's one of the scary things about it. I mean, so the documentary is about the beginning
real quick,
of social
before,
media.
Before you want to endorse this.
No, I'm not endorsing.
Okay, I was going to say, make sure.
Not
that,
endorsing.
I'm just giving a great story about that in just a second.
Oh, okay, yeah. You can tell me that story. Not endorsing, but it's a story about how social media started, and the people that founded the social media stuff, they were trying to create the best user interface for somebody, and like had like 5,000 data points, you know, of they only wanted to show you the stuff that you wanted to see, you know, whether it be in entertainment, in fashion, in shopping, but it also ended up being in news. And so many of the news feeds, based on what you click and what you read, it says, oh, you like this kind of thing. Well, let me suggest this. And it just goes deeper and deeper into a rabbit hole where really, again, you know, there was a time, you and I are old enough to remember this, that people read a newspaper, and we all read the same newspaper.
What is this newspaper of which you speak?
Right. Or, you know, they had network news, and we all just watched the same news. Mm-hmm. Like, and that was what we had conversations about. Now, there's limitations to that, to be sure, because there was bias in that as well. But here's the thing. We're not all watching the same news anymore. Like, we are watching usually a very select group of sources that are saying very different things, and it's part of the division in our country. It's part of the fact that we think, how can you be so dumb? Why don't you know that? Well, they're not reading that stuff. They're reading something different, and they're thinking, how can you be so dumb? Why don't you know this? And it's just part of that divide.
But, and that's absolutely right. And that's what becomes, you know, part of the problem that we're struggling with, is that the only thing that we see is what the particular media that and then we've also surrounded ourselves with people that only think the way we think. So we think that this is the whole world. So, you know, to go back in 2016 when Trump was elected and they were amazed, how could this happen? Well, that's because they put themselves in this little isolation cocoon that wasn't listening to that other voice that was out there. And I think that's dangerous. I mean, the nature of the incarnation is a God who enters into the messiness of the world, of a world that is unlike him. We have to be careful about creating this world that the only voice we hear is the voice we want to hear.
Right.
Rather than, as you mentioned earlier, this sense of wisdom or viewing the lens of through the gospel, of being able to really engage the world, not through media or even the thing you said about the social dilemma, about what we want to see or how we want to see. It's, we want to see things the way they actually are.
I think we need to approach it with humility. You know, some people hearing this might think that we're trying to say, so therefore everything you see in the media is wrong. And, it, you know, that's not it at all, right? It shouldn't be a this side or that side. I mean, actually, I'm pretty sure that many of the things that we see and that we believe are true, But I think we would be naive to think that everything we see and believe is true.
Right, right.
Like,
right.
I'm sure I'm getting the 100% full story. And again, I would also just go back to what Christ said, judge a tree by its fruits. What's the fruit of some of these things, this media that we're consuming? Is it anger, hatred, division, or is it seeking solidarity, mm-hmm. dialogue? I mean, again, I think there's a lot of reasonable people on different sides of political spectrums, ideologies, other things. You don't see them in the media because they're not interesting enough to show. But I do have a conviction that a lot of people could have a conversation with. And
amen.
And we need to have those conversations amen. If we're going to promote the gospel.
Amen. That's great.
So I've got a product to plug.
Okay.
I'm just going to plug this book because it's wonderful. This is
when you hold that up, just for the record, people on the podcast can't see that.
That's right. But when it ever gets on video, you'll be able to see it. And you'll also be able to see me in my Tampa Bay Buccaneers Tom Brady jersey.
And me with my scarf.
And you with your scarf.
It's kind of cold.
It's a little chilly. It's a wee bit nipply.
Yep.
There's this wonderful book. This is probably my favorite spiritual book of all time outside the Bible. Abandonment to Divine Providence by Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I don't think that's who it's by.
Pretty sure. You're right. Jean-Pierre de Caussade.
Yeah. So close, though.
So close. The sequel, Too Dom Tough. Abandonment to Divine Providence. I heard it. It's a little book. I heard of this book. I was on retreat one time with Father Benedict Grischel of Happy Memory. And when I had a one-on-one opportunity with him, I just said, hey, other than the Bible, like, what do you read for spiritual reading? He, you know, reached into the many folds of your habits and pulled out this dog-eared copy of Abandonment to Divine Providence. And he says he usually has to buy a new copy every year. He just, you know, reads it at least once a year, makes notes, goes through it, and then reads it again. And so I thought, well, if it's good enough for Grischel, it's good enough for me. And I've done the same. This is probably my fifth or sixth copy of the book. It's very shiny because it looks new because I had to get a new one. But what I love about this book is it really just talks about the idea of the sacrament of the present moment, of living with what God is doing. It very dramatically says that everything that's happening is God's will, and our peace in life is just about accepting God's will, and all of our anxiety is fighting God's will. Here's a quote that I wanted to share. When it talks about God, he says, God is really and truly there present, but invisibly present, so that we're always surprised and don't recognize his operation until it has ceased. If we could lift the veil, and if we were attentive and watchful, God would continually reveal himself to us, and we would see his divine action in everything that happened to us and rejoice in it. Each successive occurrence, we would exclaim, it is the Lord, and we should accept every fresh circumstance as a gift from God, whether that's a joy, whether that's pain. He talks about whether it's like super ordinary or super extraordinary. Like it really doesn't matter. I was praying that today. You know, I was excited to do this podcast today, and that can be like, oh, that's a great work, and, you know, people can be blessed by it. What I'm dreading today is science fair. I hate science fair. And I've got two kids, and you're looking at me. You don't know what I'm talking about, but every other parent listening to this podcast knows exactly what's going on. You know, we've got all these science experiments, and there's ways to do them. And now I have two kids in junior high, and I have to do it twice over. And I just thought, oh, Lord, I do not want to do science fair today. But then as I was praying.
Sounds tough.
It is tough. Dude, you have no idea.
I know.
You have no idea. And when you're doing it with like reluctant seventh graders, that makes it, you know, it's not like they're like excited about doing an experiment. Help me, Dad, is basically get Dad, do this for me. And I'm like, no, you're going to do it. And then I end up doing it for them with a lot of yelling in between. But the point is, God's in that moment, as much as he is in this moment of ministry, as much as he's in anything, and just rejoicing in that we can see the Lord behind something that's very ordinary. Yeah.
Hence, there's our transition. Nailed it again.
Boom.
Well, just to build on that point, a friend of mine, his brother just passed away, and it was interesting because I spoke about that in experiencing the Lord's presence there, and I just said the Lord was present there. So it was his little brother. His brother passed away. He's 54 years old, and he said, Father Dave, you were right. He said the Lord was present. You know, when his brother was passing, and that. That is remarkable that when we, and that's really what I guess the ordinary time is to be able to discover and recognize that the Lord is present in every moment that we're alive and every moment that exists. And the grace or the opportunity for us is to be able to discover that.
Yeah.
To be able to discover that presence in the Lord in our life, in the ordinary events. It's easy, you know, in those extraordinary things, baptism, science fairs, those kinds of things, to be able to find the Lord's presence in that. But just ordinary life. And that's really what this season provides us an opportunity for.
I liked, I don't know Latin very well, but one of the things that I did learn when studying Latin was the word ordinary in Latin doesn't have the same connotation that it does in English, even though it's kind of the same word, right? When, you know, for English, like ordinary is like bland, kind of boring, regular, basic, as the kids would say today. And that's not at all what the church means when she talks about ordinary. Ordinary is the gold standard, you know? I mean, really the way it should be. And, you know, another word with extraordinary.
Right.
Sometimes in our English language, we're like, extraordinary is even better than ordinary. No, it just means it's out of,
right.
out of the ordinary. You know, like an extraordinary minister of the Eucharist is not like somebody even better, you know, than the ordinary. No, actually, the ordinary is the gold standard. It's okay to be extraordinary, you know, when circumstances permit, but it's about ordinary. I was, as I'm preparing for the diaconate, I realized that in a deeper way because somebody joked. He said, well, right now you're an extraordinary minister of communion, but soon you'll just be an ordinary minister of communion, and that's even better than being extraordinary, at least in the language of the church. And I think about that as we come into ordinary time. You know, you think like, oh man, it's not Christmas anymore. It's just ordinary time. But there's nothing
ordinary
about being ordinary, at least in the life of the Lord.
So we call our bishop the ordinary. You know, who's your, if you're talking church, hey, who's your ordinary? It's your bishop, right?
Is that like a Catholic term, like who's your daddy?
A lot like that.
Yeah.
It's pretty in the weeds. Like not everyone's going to be able to get that. But
that's inside Catholic baseball.
Right. But you were talking a little bit earlier about wisdom. And in the church, it's funny. We have readings, and it's not just throwing darts at a board. It's like, gee, what should we do for yesterday for the baptism of the Lord? Beautiful text from Isaiah. Uh-huh. Well, they discerned that, right? It wasn't like, I don't know. We haven't talked about this. So when we take a look at what the church, this is the first Monday of ordinary time. Mm-hmm. So what is
the day that we're recording this? Yes.
Right. So what does the church invite us to pray in the very beginning? It's from Sirach. And the first thing it says is all wisdom comes from the Lord. So it's interesting in the light of what you were saying about wisdom earlier, but what does the church invite us to think and reflect on at the very beginning of the church year? Wisdom.
Yeah.
Not the church calendar year of ordinary time.
Right.
Is wisdom and the necessity for we of faith to have wisdom. One of the things that I saw reading about wisdom when I was writing a little bit about some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that wisdom gives us godly insight. It's what we're alluding to earlier is to be able to move past my preconceived notions or my agendas or my fears or my anxieties or whatever it is, and to be able to see something. And I see, I was at the time I was writing to parents. I think wisdom would be good for parents, right?
Yeah.
You've got you know all of your kids that are asking questions, and not just science questions, but questions about life, and for you to be able to speak wisdom into that. And I think it's a great virtue, and the church invites us at the very beginning of the ordinary time to look at wisdom, which isn't so ordinary.
Right. And the scriptures frequently say that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Wisdom, right.
And that's another word that our culture messes up a bit. You know, it's not like I'm scared of God, but that I'm in awe of God, that I revere God. And, you know, the heart of that is peace. You know, I think of what it says in the second letter of Peter. He says that, humble yourselves before the Lord in his mighty hand. He will lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And that idea, the gift of fear of the Lord, is a recognition of the sovereignty and the beauty and the power of God. And it's seeing that, even if that's not the immediate thing. I mean, when we when we look at our television sets or our phones and we see riots and things going crazy and so many things happening that we don't want to happen and that we're angry about happening, it's easy for the presence of the Lord to seem like it disappears. Mm-hmm. Like we can't see it through those screens, because that's the wisdom of the world. We're getting an earthly perspective. And the earthly perspective, sadly, is what Nietzsche said. God is dead. He's not present. It's just crazy down here. We got to fight to survive. And that's why the fear of the Lord, acknowledging the power and the presence of the Lord, that's what begins wisdom, because that's what makes us start to say, oh, there is another perspective. And I want to seek that perspective. And then I can cast my anxiety on this awesome and great and incredible God who loves us. Mm-hmm. That's the only way we can find peace, the only way we can find peace in this crazy time.
Amen. And maybe just a reminder why we do this, right, is in the midst of, I think we say something at the very beginning, in the midst of the craziness of this world, that we find that God is present. This world is either graced or it isn't. You know, yeah. That's one of the things I love about the text you read from the Abandonment to Divine Providence is God's will. And maybe another day we'll talk a little bit about his permissive will and his intentional will and all that. But the reality is that the world is graced. And the world doesn't want, the media, the world, the culture, the world that Paul talks about when he speaks about the world, the flesh and the devil, doesn't want us to be able to recognize and see that, wants us to not be able to see it, wants us to despair, wants us to be doubting. And our hope and our goal is that just for a moment we can help bring light into that, right? Amen. Is that we can bring peace, that we can bring the Lord's presence. Maybe we can kind of take away the blinders that don't allow us to see it and allow people to see the Lord is present.
You know, one practical thing, and this could be another plug, we'll just plug lots of things today, is the number one podcast on Apple Podcasts is a good friend of ours, Father Mike Schmitz. Who's doing the Bible in a year. I guess he's doing that with Jeff Cavins.
I think so, right.
The Great Adventure. And what a great resource. You know, I find reading Scripture, that gives us a new perspective. Like, if you want to know what is God's perspective on life, we see that through Scripture, particularly the Gospels, you know. So maybe that's something to commit to. You know, maybe start just reading through the Scriptures in a year. If you don't want to do something that regimented, try just reading a gospel. Start, you know, the Gospel of Luke, right? Or what year are we in now? B, right? So that would be, that's Luke, isn't it?
I thought it was Mark, but I don't know.
It could be Mark.
Whatever the game. Well, the thing is I don't set it up. It's all the missile's always set up by somebody, so I just don't pay, or the lectionary, pay attention.
Right. Well, just start reading a gospel. Maybe a work like Abandonment to Divine Providence can give you peace. Maybe something like Discipleship Quads, where you get together with others and read Scripture. Like, look, there's just lots of resources out there. Do something. Like, whatever that is. Like, you know, if you find that most of your wisdom is coming from the world, whether that be through social media or whatever, like giving space to God. We're so grateful that you're listening to this podcast. No matter what you're doing, maybe you're folding clothes, maybe you're going on a run. There's a lot of other things you could be doing, but you're trying to do something that lifts your soul to God. And we truly pray that what we share and talk about will do that. Keep doing it. Like just keep doing that. Whatever that is, the Lord wants to bring you that peace. And it's going to be rooted in his wisdom and his love. He wants to take whatever ordinary thing, even the ordinary thing you are doing right now, and he wants you to see, you know, to lift the veil and see him behind that, whether it's a pain, whether it's a pleasure, whether it's a hope, whether it's a fear, and just know that God is present and God is with you. He has never left. He's never abandoned. And he's going to carry you through whatever difficulty you're going through or whatever joy you're celebrating. He wants to be right there with you. And maybe that'd be just a good way to close our podcast.
Amen. Lord, we just ask your blessing be upon us and that we would be able to see that and experience that. Jesus, pour out your blessing on all those listening, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Father Dave. And again, thank you for listening. We're so grateful to have this opportunity to speak in your ear. If you like what we're doing, share it with a friend. Give us a good rating. I know this sounds kind of dumb, but it's a nice way to let other people know that this is something worth listening to. Some people are just, the reason we put hope in the title is because we specifically wanted people to search podcasts if they were despairing and say, I need hope. And if they see our podcast with the word hope and they see a bunch of stars by it, they're more likely maybe to click and ideally be blessed. And of course, please share your stories of hope with us at hope@franciscan.edu, hope@franciscan.edu. God bless.